I'd like to welcome all of you from all over the United States. We're going down to Pennsylvania now, and we're going to say hello to Dr. Roy Edelson. He is a practicing clinical and research and political psychologist for over 30 years, and focusing on the psychological issues of civil justice and social change. He's the former executive director of the Solomon Asch Center for Study of Ethno-Political Conflict at the University of Pennsylvania, and we have him here today to talk about political mind games, the psychology behind the elite's manipulation and marketing of false social and political claims to get us to support their self-serving agenda. Nice to have you with us today.
Thanks very much, Gary. It's good to be here.
The vast majority of our debates in this country over political policy and internal conflicts are analyzed from a socioeconomic or political affiliation perspective, rather than to look at the issues from a deeper psychological and ethical construct to understand what is really going on. So I'm pleased to have you on the program today to increase our psychological understanding of the widespread discord and confusion we find ourselves in today when fake news are the new postmodern truths. And I'd like an analogy you provide from an episode of Rod Serling's Twilight Zone in the 1960s TV series, or Aliens, which could be our 1% of the national plutocratic elite who covertly manipulate normal conditions in a small town and then realize all they have to do is sit back and watch as the citizens' thoughts and attitudes and prejudices and suspicions destroy themselves. In other words, the aliens have set up the psychological conditions for horrible decisions and policies to be made that serve the elite and have the support of at least pacify the population into inaction. So please begin by speaking about the crucial role psychology plays in the decisions being made at the federal level and the underlying psychology that is leading us to a horrible future. And before I give you the forum, I'll just give you one example, and I have a bunch. Mm-hmm. That is, we say we are against terrorism. Good. And yet we, along with Saudi Arabia and Turkey, in the United Arab Emirates, in Israel, we support fully terrorist organizations throughout the world. And no one in the media or the mainstream media is challenging this cognitive disconnect. If you're against something, then why are you supporting it? The forum is yours.
Okay. All good points. My focus for many years has been on psychological persuasion and how it's used in politics. And over the course of that time, I've developed a perspective that looks specifically at what I call five core psychological concerns. And I think that these are the soft targets that, in particular, those with tremendous wealth and power use in order to pursue what they want at the expense of the common good. So, probably helpful if I name these five briefly. First one is vulnerability. We are constantly asking ourselves, are we safe? And if we get the answer right, or if we figure out what needs to be done, that's good. But often we're persuaded in ways that make us misjudge our safety or our welfare, or make the wrong decisions about how to be safer. So vulnerability is one of those core psychological concerns. Second one is injustice. The basic question we ask is, are we being treated fairly? Whenever we think someone or we are not being treated fairly, we try and correct that. And we are often filled with resentment and an urge to kind of bring accountability to those we hold responsible. Unfortunately, we're often misled in regard to either where the injustice is or who's to blame for it. So that's the second one, injustice. The third core concern is distrust. Who should we trust? We tend to divide the world into those who we find trustworthy and those we don't. And where we draw that line matters a lot. If we get it right, we avoid harm from those who are out to hurt us, and we can enjoy the rewards of positive relationships. But we frequently get it wrong, and influential actors try to encourage us to make the wrong judgment about who we can trust and who we can't. So that's distrust, the third core concern. The fourth is superiority, and the basic question that goes with it is, are we good enough? It's human nature to compare ourselves to others, and we often do that in order to demonstrate that we're worthy of respect or even admiration. But too often, in order to bolster kind of our own positive self-appraisal, we're encouraged to perceive others as in as negative a light as possible, often to the point of dehumanizing them. And the final psychological core concern that the 1% target with manipulative appeals is helplessness. The question being, can we control what happens to us? So feelings of helplessness are kind of poison for any undertaking. If we believe we can't control the important outcomes in our lives, we become resigned, it wrecks our motivation, and we stop working toward important personal or collective objectives. Now, the analysis I present in my book, Political Mind Games, is that these five psychological concerns, vulnerability, injustice, distrust, superiority, and helplessness, are central to how we make sense of the world around us. And they should be, and ideally would be, crucial guideposts for efforts to advance the common good. And you, Gary, offered many examples of what that common good would look like in terms of universal health care, a reduction in our military budget, free tuition, and so on. But as I explain in the book, these very same concerns are soft and highly attractive targets for those who want to prey on our doubts and uncertainties to achieve their own goals. And they're very good at it. And so it doesn't break down along kind of Democratic or Republican lines necessarily. It breaks down, I believe, in terms of those who have tremendous wealth and power and the rest of us. And we know from very good research that Congress is influenced by what the 1% want in terms of laws, regulations, and they don't care based on their actions, based on their votes. They essentially don't care what the 99% want. It's not surprising when you consider how important the role of money is. But recognizing these five core concerns, what I try and do is explain what I call the mind games, what kind of political, psychological, manipulative appeals we see every day, constantly, that are designed to influence the way we make sense of the world.
Okay, and that said, one of the major mind games being played now and getting the most media attention concerns immigration and travel bans of Muslims and separation of parents from children. That's abhorrent. Using this as an example, what is the mind game being played, and what is its intended effects?
Well, the key mind game there, I believe, is what I refer to as they're different from us. So this is the argument that 1%ers will offer. They'll, you know, sometimes disguise it, sometimes they'll be quite open about it. It's designed to work on kind of the difference between in-group and out-groups. It's a natural human tendency to have an in-group bias. If we're persuaded that someone belongs to a different group from us, that is an out-group, it negatively colors our judgments and behavior toward them. Whereas if we're persuaded that someone belongs to our in-group, then we tend to view them as more trustworthy, we hold them in higher regard, we're more willing to do what needs to be done to help them. And what we see on multiple fronts from the current White House, and not just the White House, are efforts to play on this, they're different from us. And we see it in regard to the immigration issue and the, you know, horrific separation of parents from their children at the border, or even if not separated, their incarceration together. But there's money behind this. All of the, you know, prejudice, unfortunately, there are profiteers of prejudice, and they will take advantage of the opportunity to make money on appeals that stimulate us to feel that others are different. So you look at the for-profit prison industry. It loves the fact that more immigrants are being locked up. That is money in the bank for them. The travel ban, anything that scares us about Muslims is money for the security industry and for defense contractors. They make a fortune as long as we remain scared about terrorism as something that's out there and that is somehow attached to a religion, even though it certainly is not. And we see it, you know, in terms of kind of the African-American community, we see it in terms of mass incarceration. Large corporations financially benefit from having a lot of people locked up. And among other ways, that's inexpensive, below minimum wage labor, in addition to the various business enterprises, the costs of phone calls, the meals, the health care. So that by preying on the they're different from us mind game, a lot of us kind of step aside. We kind of don't feel the connection to these people who are being harmed terribly. And at the same time, the 1% are making money and are keeping us divided.
Also, I appreciate that insight. Thank you. And we're almost out of time. I just want to make this point. Look at what it would have been like to have been a unionist. I spoke with these people out in West Virginia. You spent your whole life working at a simple job, and the factory closed, and it was outsourced. You've been given repeated promises by people who said they support unions, support the poor, the Democrats, and they didn't. So out of anger and as a protest, you voted for Trump. You feel you had nothing else to lose. And now you hear yourself being called deplorable. That's a game that the Democratic establishment has been playing by denigrating everyone as if everyone who voted for Trump and everyone who comes to his rallies is a white-necked racist, a redneck racist, white supremacist, misogynist, hater. And though there are a small number of those there and always have been, that sure as the heck does not represent the vast majority of people out there. But we're being played that mind game as if they're the other. They don't deserve they're not our intellectual equal. They're not our educational equal. They're not our financial equal. They're not our social cultural equal. So they're all to be dismissed. And I think that is also a mistake. The games are being played on both sides, and they're both wrong. That's my opinion.
I agree with you. That's another example of the they're different from us mind game. And in political mind games, I describe 20 of these mind games with the specific examples of how they're being used and what we can do about it.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to invite you back for a full hour on our Progressive Commentary Hour so you can go through all 20 of those. I want to hear them myself, all right?
That sounds like great. That would be great.
Great. And in the interim, Dr. Roy Edelson's book is called Political Mind Games, How the 1% Manipulate Our Understanding of What is Happening, What's Right, and What's Possible. Thank you very much. And his website is roiedelson.com. I'm Gary Nollett. We're out of time, everyone. And tonight at 7 o'clock, three dynamic speakers on what's wrong with artificial intelligence. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be very exciting. Have a nice day, everyone.
Dancing, dancing. She's a dancing queen.